This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Well, the players are giving everything they've got. They've done absolutely fantastic so far this season, but they know today it wasn't good enough. I know, but I'm the one who's responsible for this, and I can't fault their efforts, their commitment. We have been stretched, really stretched lately with players being away, and we've got loads of games, so... the boys, of course, they looked mentally tired towards the end because we just didn't find that creativity that we hoped for. I can't update you or give any news, but of course the club is working behind the scenes to do deals. If they're right, of course, there's it's a difficult time as well to do things in January, but that's for us. I know the club is working hard to get us players in, because we've been stretched, these players have been stretched. Hopefully the players that are injured, when they get back, they'll give us something, but there might be something I can't tell you now.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, after Man United's latest league defeat, a 2-0 home loss to Burnley, handing Burnley their first ever league win at Old Trafford. Hello there, I'm Ross on reunion dinner night. This is the Chinese New Year edition of On The Ball. Ha cha. And with me, I've got Arvind Sidhu.
Hello everyone, good day to be here. Nice roads, some football discussions, let's go.
Traffic wicked, isn't it?
Brilliant, absolutely.
Brilliant. Keshika is also here.
Hello, Keshika. Hello everyone.
All right, Keshika. And Bob Holmes, of course.
Hi everybody.
Tweet us at BFM Radio, tell us what you're having for dinner, and we'll tell you some football news. Lots to talk about. Tweet us at BFM Radio, follow us on Instagram and on Facebook as well as BFM Football. We're going to start with the midweek round of Premier League games. We're going to start with that Old Trafford win for Sean Dyche's Burnley. 2-0 to Burnley. Man United were jeered by their own supporters at half-time, at full-time. Most of them left by 82nd minute. It was a dire show, Bob.
Absolutely. I think what United need now is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer of last season as a caretaker. I mean, he's not up to it as a permanent boss.
Sack him and bring him back as an interim.
No, they need Pochettino. He's available. They haven't got to pay a club compensation for him. They've still got a chance of a Champions League place, even though this season seems to be really dire. They're not out of contention for that. And I think a new manager coming in could give them a lift. And if they haven't wasted the whole of January, if they can still sign a couple of players by the end of the window, they could actually make it, because everybody else is falling by the wayside.
Yep.
So it's an opportunity. And I think the sooner they get Pochettino in, the better.
It's been a dire transfer window, has it, Keshika? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you're a United fan. You've been reading about the potential transfers, mm-hmm. and how it's all not going to happen.
Well, I feel like United is a big club, you know, like you make so much money on the commercial side, but you're haggling over a few pounds with smaller clubs that struggle financially. It makes no sense. We've lost out, like Haaland, biggest loss ever. If you watch the Dortmund game, his debut, he made all the difference, a hat-trick on debut. That could have turned around like United's performance completely. We missed out on that, and now we're haggling over Fernandes, and I heard that deal is not going to happen as well.
Yeah, it sounds like that's not going to happen. But it's nothing new, right, Arvind? It's the latest. Woodward out. It's nothing's changed.
Oof, this, how much time do we have? This is a downward spiral for the last 7 years.
You've seen it before at your beloved Leeds.
Exactly, it's downward. It's downward from the point that you've got a board who is incompetent. You've got a manager who's pretty much clueless in what he's doing. And you've got players who are overrated for the price that you've paid for them. Now, Harry Maguire, the world's most expensive defender. Both those goals were his fault. Firstly, he loses his man in Chris Wood. And granted, the second goal with Jair Rodriguez was a stunner of a shot. But he was out of position for that as well. There's so much wrong with that club from top to down, down to up, that it's such a struggle to see any shining light with this. Ole says all the right things. He's a great PR person. He comes out and says the
he's
club...
He's a half-glass-full type of exactly. manager, right?
And Paul Ince has come on and said the biggest mistake that everyone did is they bought into Ole when he came on with that great run. But now he's being found out. And he's got no solutions, Ross.
Now, Bob, I know social media is divided on the manager of Manchester United at the moment. But I've been watching loads of reports and I'm detecting a bit of an old boys network here. I saw Roy Keane stand up for Ole against all the other pundits saying Ole today should be given another year. Judge him another year from now.
Same with Rio Ferdinand. Ferdinand was huge was on, but now he's been a bit diplomatic with his answers. So
Neville's the same
as well.
Yeah, Neville's
the same as well. But it's you struggle. There's no sight of a solution for Ole, and that's the biggest. And Keshika mentioned as well, transfers. They've spent quite a bit of money, to be honest. The Glazers has given him money. Harry Maguire, Wan-Bissaka, Daniel James. But you're haggling over a few million dollars with Bruno Fernandes, and you can't keep buying youth and putting them into a squad when you don't have any experienced, established players to come and steady the ship.
So, eight days left, Bob.
Yeah, they've got
7 days.
They've got to get a couple of people in there, haven't they? I mean, you would hope for United's sake that they've been working on this, but when you think of Ed Woodward and the way he operates, you can't be too confident. No, the Glazers have spent money in the later years. Since Fergie left, they've spent £840 million.
Exactly. But the recruitment
but
has been bad.
Where is that, you know? I mean, losing a home to Burnley, who've spent about £84 in that time, you don't see any evidence of it, do you? But the biggest tragedy for me, and this is why I do have sympathy for United fans, the Glazers have spent and taken out in dividends over £1 billion in interest financing their loans because they didn't have the money to buy United in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're going back a long way here.
Yeah.
But the root of the problem for United currently is the Glazers. It's this ownership and Ed Woodward. Ed Woodward facilitated the takeover.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a banking wizard,
yep.
And that's why they're indebted to him, and that's why they won't sack him. But he's not a football man.
Yep.
And so you think Ferguson as manager and £1 billion in those days, in the early 2000s, they could have had a World 11.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have had to sell Ronaldo. They could have bought Messi. Now, what? I mean, this is mind-boggling. And this was taken out because the Glazers didn't have the money and they had to have all these expensive loans at high interest rates. And then the brothers helped themselves. They literally had their hands in the till
but
and
the recruitment
paid
has
themselves
been dire.
Dividends.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got to have sympathy for United fans when you realise that is what happened.
So my thing here now is I'm going to throw to you the German fan ownership model. If that happened in the UK, in the EPL, if Premiership clubs were 50% owned by the fans of the town that they exist in, people of Manchester saying owning 50%, this wouldn't happen. People like the Glazers wouldn't be allowed to exist.
No, but it doesn't work there either, does it?
No.
I mean, the EPL, for all its faults, I mean, the EPL clubs are all conquering, all powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Champions League the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I mean, Bayern Munich are their richest club. They're the only ones that don't have that system. But look at Borussia Dortmund.
Mm.
I mean, you think that's a model club if ever there was one. But they have to sell their best players all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not the answer either,
but
is it? No.
But, Bob, as much as we're giving the blame to the board and to Glazers, I get that. I get that they've been frustrating for the fans. But Ole's record, he has lost more than he's won.
Yeah, he's lost 12. He's only won 11.
It comes to a point where the manager, you have to see the manager, he has got a full 11 of internationals, mm-hmm. and he's lost more than he's won.
But so, that's the bullet that Ed Woodward can pull the trigger to next. That's what he's got in his gun now. Sack the manager. That's the iron rod for the fan reaction or whatever for the next maybe till the end of the season.
Maybe, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
if
maybe.
You get a new man in. Yeah. So then, bit of heat off the Glazers, bit of the heat off the Woodward out nonsense and
it,
all
it,
that.
It just amazes me that they're so few points away from the top four, but they're 30 points behind Liverpool.
And they've let the whole January transfer window practically pass them by.
And, yeah. and it would not surprise me if come February, they would not have bought anyone, to
but
be honest.
But the thing is, we need to buy someone because we don't have strikers.
Exactly.
All right, we could spend a whole show talking about Man United, but let's move on. Let's talk about some of the other games. Chelsea 2, Arsenal 2 was a lot of fun. For once, David Luiz, you got to say, did the right thing. He took a red for the team, but that was because his teammate in central defence was Shokhtar Mustafi.
Yeah, so Mustafi passes the ball back. Poor David Luiz gets sent off on his return to Stamford Bridge. But credit where, I mean, of course, that caused Arsenal to go 10 men down and they fought, though. But after that, Mustafi actually had quite a decent game.
Yeah,
he assisted for Martinelli's goal. He was heroic in his blocking. So everyone will remember Mustafi for that clematis mistake that he's made. But he actually had quite a decent game for Arsenal. And credit to them for getting a draw, to be honest, Ross.
What are we thinking about Arteta and Arsenal? We've seen now, what, 6 games he's been in charge of?
Yeah, he's only won 2.
Exactly.
And yet the feeling is that he's done
feeling.
A pretty good job.
Yeah, the feeling is
completely different to the last man, right?
Well, I mean, I think this was a lucky break, wasn't it? I mean, the Kante slip was almost like the Gerrard slip.
But Martinelli was so cool with that goal.
Yeah, but Martinelli overhit it. His first touch was
but the
was
finish,
bad.
Though, the finish was
and
very
Kante
nice, yeah.
would have got it had yeah. he had he not yeah. slipped, and we wouldn't be talking like this. We might be talking about Arteta in a rather different light. But that happened. Okay, Martinelli, yes, he took it. After that, he took it very well.
Yeah.
And he does look great, I agree. But Chelsea have been a bit unlucky of late, I think.
Mm.
What with injuries and incidents like that. I still think they'll get top four. I don't think...
Well, there's talk that there's Lampard wants to bring a striker in. Cavani's been mentioned, PSG's Cavani. I was reading today they're not happy with Kepa.
Yeah.
The goalie they spent how much on?
And Nick Pope is talked
they
about.
They want Dean Henderson.
There you go. Yeah. But striker is needed because Tammy Abraham, I think, has got 13 goals.
Yeah.
After that, they've got Pulisic with 5. They need someone to help Tammy Abraham there. You can't depend on him to be scoring all the goals for them. And the problem with Lampard with Chelsea is quite similar to what he had with Derby in the Championship. They create a lot of chances, but the conversion rate could be better. And that's the same thing that he's having right now.
All right.
Kepa, speaking of Kepa, he's got the worst shot ratio, hasn't he? Shot-save ratio to anybody. The world's most expensive keeper, and he's got the worst record for saving.
He looks scared all the time, though, doesn't he?
He was all right when he first came, I thought. But vastly, I don't know who was behind that move. That was under Antonio Conte, wasn't it?
It could have been.
Or Sarri. It was between.
Because Courtois had gone to Madrid.
That's right. No one has actually owned up to.
And none of those moves worked out.
No, Courtois has actually done a bit better right now.
Courtois would have been great at Chelsea still, right?
He still would have been. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about probably the game of midweek in terms of shockability. This game went on for 95 minutes, including injury time. In the 94th minute, the scoreboard at Goodison Park read Everton 2, Newcastle 0. 94 minutes played. Now, 95-minute game. It ended up 2-2. Florian Lejeune, the Newcastle defender who came on as a sub, scored 2 goals in 60 seconds.
One was an overhead bicycle kick, and the other one is something you would typically see in a Malaysian padang somewhere with everyone gathering together. But yeah, Florian Lejeune has scored 2 goals. He's got more goals than Dwight Gayle, Andy Carroll, as well as Joelinton combined. So yeah, that was a one-off. You're not going to be seeing Florian Lejeune come up with those kind of goals again for a long time.
This is Steve Bruce on a purple patch.
It certainly is, isn't it? I think the phrase lightning doesn't strike in the same place twice. It has to be rephrased. Yeah. Lejeune does strike twice in the same place at the same time. I hadn't scored for about, 100 games or something.
Yeah, 1,000 over minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve Bruce, overdue some luck, I think.
Yeah.
You know, he's been around the block, not considered a great manager. Even the Geordies didn't want him, did they?
Yeah.
The circumstances didn't help. I mean,
when the way he came
and wanted to watch test matches in the West Indies before taking over and stuff like that. He's doing all right, isn't he? A very nice bloke, Steve Bruce, isn't he? Everybody acknowledges that. But he's looking as if he can actually manage a Premier League football club against all the odds.
Yep.
It really is amazing.
Mm.
They're not far behind United, are they?
No.
They've got an outside chance of Europa League.
on the Everton side, though, Ancelotti's eyebrow was a bit more pronounced
at
full time.
But he looks at a bigger picture. He brought up the Champions League final in Istanbul, where he lost the 3-0 lead and Liverpool won the Champions League. But some good things for them. Moise Keane scored his first ever goal for Everton.
The partnership looked all right.
I think he's Ancelotti's favourite player probably is still Dominic Calvert-Lewin because he's in the form of his life right now. So, Everton, I think, have got optimism and they've got money. That club has got money to spend. So they've got optimism for the future.
Good point. Good point for Newcastle and maybe an unlucky 2 points loss for Everton. The other game we should mention now, Sheffield United 0, Man City 1. City were made to work hard. Gabriel Jesus has now missed 3 penalties in his last 5. It needed Sergio Aguero off the bench to win this one for City. Dean Henderson was a star for the Blades in the Sheffield United goal.
He was Henderson. Not just the penalty save. He stopped Mahrez from scoring.
Yeah.
He looked commanding in the box. But I mean, at the end of the day, when you look at that game, Sheffield United at Bramall Lane is a very hard proposition for anyone to go to. But the good thing about City is that when you have a magical player like Kevin De Bruyne. Kevin De Bruyne is the assist king of the world. He's got 15 assists this season, 5 behind Henry, which is the top of all time for the Premier League. Any club who wants to build a squad, you get Kevin De Bruyne. And that pass again, Aguero is not going to miss that one.
Agreed. But for City, Bob, it was a clean sheet because Aymeric Laporte returned.
Yeah, what a miss.
By gum.
City were unlucky, it has to be said, to lose him at that stage of the season, having taken a gamble on not replacing Kompany. And it's cost them dearly. It's perhaps cost them the title, although I wouldn't say that his absence has been responsible for
Much
gap.
Much closer, yeah.
Would have been closer.
Liverpool just dropped 2 points. You can't knock that one.
Aguero, I think we take it for granted Aguero scoring, don't we, somehow? And, you know, when Jesus first came to City, it looked as if Pep was going to ease him into the side and at the expense of Aguero, because Aguero didn't do much. He was an old-fashioned striker, just hung around the penalty area like a Rush or a Lineker type. Didn't work hard enough for Pep. But he's managed to get more work out of Aguero, and his goals ratio has not dropped at all. In fact, it's probably increased, if anything. I think that guy is an absolute legend.
Oh, he is top scorer.
If you were picking the Premier League team of all time, you'd have to have him in it, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. There are no more nice things to say about Chris Wilder and the Sheffield United side. They're not going to get relegated this season. I can pretty much tell you that. And who knows? They may even end up in the top 6 come end of season. We should talk about Southampton, who, 5 weeks ago were in the bottom 3. Remember, they were tonked 9-1 by Leicester City. We thought that was the end of Ralph Hasenhüttl. I'm sure the Southampton board would have been sounding out replacements. But, 5 weeks later, they're 5 points off the top 6.
6 points out of 21. What a turnaround. He was always a good manager. We always liked him when he came, the way that he has played. But to go away to Selhurst Park, which is also quite a tough, intimidating arena, and to come away with a clean sheet, Danny Ings did not score any of those goals, but the quality of those goals, Nathan Redmond and Armstrong, you know that they're playing the way Ralph Hasenhüttl wants them to play. So, and a remarkable turnaround, to be honest.
Fourth successive away victory. for yeah. Southampton.
Yeah.
and they've beaten the likes of Leicester, Chelsea, yeah, Spurs. I mean, look at the teams that they've beaten. So really, I mean, Ralph has done it on almost a shoestring budget. He's not even bought anyone for that club, to be honest.
No, they are third behind Liverpool and City for the most points that they've taken since that hammering by Leicester.
Third. Amazing, amazing, yeah. Bounce back ability. But we were saying about clubs who get tonked basically by record scorelines and are basically like phoenixes. They're born again. Crystal Palace was once tonked massively. I think Ipswich Town was as well. And now you can probably add Southampton to that. Southampton 2020 is not going to get relegated. Probably. Right, our first break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the midweek football for you. You stay tuned now.
Worth a try, and he's always prepared to give it a go.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Deserved a goal, that. Lovely return pass. Just wide.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. Bob, Kashika and Arvind in the studio. Leicester City 4, West Ham United 1. Thumping victory for Leicester. Bad news for Brendan Rodgers and Leicester in this game is that Jamie Vardy went off with an injury. Now, that's quite massive.
Well, it looked like his hamstring, but it actually turned out to be his glute. And they say that he's not serious.
Yeah, they say he might be okay for the Carabao Cup second leg, actually.
Yeah, probably won't play in the FA Cup, but Carabao Cup, which is more important to them now, isn't it?
Yeah. Leicester look good in this game. Scored nice goals, played good football.
Yeah, they've had a little wobble, haven't they? But they were firing on all cylinders. But West Ham looked pretty bad, didn't they?
Mm. The 4-1 didn't flatter Leicester. They could have actually won by more. And when you speak about that wobble, Bob, it's been at the time when they've actually lost Wilfred Ndidi in that midfield. Wilfred Ndidi is so important to them because as much as we talk about Brendan Rodgers and how they play attractive football, very enterprising football, you always need that one player in the middle of the park that will kind of control everything and do the dirty work. That's what Wilfred Ndidi is, and he has been missing, but he was back for this game. Unfortunate to give away that penalty, which I didn't think was a penalty, but it's clear that when he's back in that squad, the spine is much more stronger. And it's nice for them because without Vardy, they still had other players that stepped up. Ayoze Perez stepped up, scored two goals, and Chilwell on the left and Pereira on the right, for me, is the best two fullbacks after the Liverpool boys. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, good things for Leicester, even without Vardy on the pitch on the day.
Okay, I can understand Brendan Rodgers and Leicester City. My question to you guys now is, what's the story with David Moyes and West Ham then? what do the two Davids hope to achieve with this appointment? Come the start of next season, when the slate is clean, West Ham are still in the Premier League, what do they hope to achieve with David Moyes? Are they looking to be a top six team?
No.
I think they just want to...
What are they trying to do?
They want to be like Everton, just hover somewhere and just stay there maybe.
Well, West Ham fans surely can't be... They talk about the West Ham way, don't they, and all that.
Yeah, well, I mean, just for them, for the owners anyway, just being in the Premier League and picking up that broadcasting money is enough, isn't it?
That's such...
They're the English Glazers, aren't they, really?
That's such a high street trader way of thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what they were, isn't it? Worse than that.
Red Light District.
We won't go into that. They got the deal on the stadium. That's backfired.
Yeah.
They reckon it's the worst football stadium in the country. This is the Olympic stadium we're talking about. I mean, they've tried to reconfigure it to a football stadium. And when West Ham are winning, it doesn't sound too bad. And people say, oh, this is not too bad. We can live with this now, can't we? It's all right. But when they start losing, they're playing badly, it's silent. And they blame the stadium. But I mean, clearly the stadium is not right for a football club, for an ambitious football club. And they spent $300 million on reconfiguring it, which the taxpayer paid most of it. So it's all a bit of a con job, isn't it, by these two owners. And, I don't think West Ham fans are very happy about the situation.
No, they were not.
And, you know, you can see them going down, if not this season, perhaps next.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fans were vocal in that game. They were chants against the owners. They booed their own players. Yeah. Moyes has probably come and had the shortest new managers bounce of all the new managers that come on.
Yeah.
He bounced for a short, for one or two
games.
He
got a draw, didn't
he? But it doesn't get easier for them. They've got Liverpool next, then they've got City to come. Yeah, so it doesn't. Yeah. But like what Kashika said, probably mid-table mediocrity, just in limbo, just staying it. That satisfies them, but obviously not for the fans.
I mean, you compare to them to a side like Nuno's Wolves, and wow, different ambitions altogether. Let's talk about Wolves now. Wolves nearly took Liverpool to a draw. It was close, but it was 2-1 to Liverpool. It was a cracking winner from Roberto Firmino in the end. The Red Machine has now won 21 of 22 Premier League games played this season. They still have that one game in hand.
Crazy stats. Absolutely crazy stats.
It's the highest of any side in the top five European leagues ever since records started. Ever.
You know, when you look at this game, right, and how it ended, right, you can have Salah, who can have his off day. You can have Mane, who might get injured and get taken off. But Firmino never has an off day. Firmino is always there, pulling it all together, and then he gets the rewards that he deserves, like how he did with that winning goal. So for Liverpool right now, it's just, we will remember this season for two words: mentality monsters.
Because
the mentality of that squad, it's like literally robots that go on the pitch, perform and get out, and they know exactly how to win. They know how to win ugly, they know how to win beautiful.
And the fact that Arvin mentioned mentality there, Bob, we spoke about this. Liverpool's greatest unsung hero of the season is probably their captain, Jordan Henderson.
Yeah, Jordan Henderson. Who would have thought it, eh?
That's the first name Gareth Southgate should have down for England's midfield, and then you build around that.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, he was signed as a box-to-box midfielder from Sunderland, and he was a total flop. They paid $16 million for him, which was quite a lot in those days, and he actually cost Daniel Comolli his job. Daniel Comolli was the
football director.
Football director, ex-Spurs guy, with all the contacts, you know, and he bought a few players. Luis Suarez. So, I mean, he wasn't a total flop, but only paid $22 million for Luis Suarez. But Henderson and the Liverpool hierarchy told Comolli that was the reason they were sacking him, because they questioned his judgment, paying $16 million for Jordan Henderson. And now look at him. I mean, it is an amazing transformation. It's taken a while, and even, I think, up to a couple of years ago, not all Liverpool fans were convinced by Henderson, were they? But season particularly, but last season also, he's been magnificent.
Arsenal's invincible record is a threat here.
Yeah, it's a threat. And about Jordan Henderson, right, what we say about him as the captain of that squad, he doesn't get the headlines and all the glamour of the rest of the players. But when you listen to the man, the motivation that he has. Now, this game, Liverpool didn't need to win this game. They can afford to drop points here and there, but they won it. After the match, Jordan Henderson comes out and says, the next game is our biggest game. Every game is our biggest game. When you have that kind of motivation and mentality.
Even his in-match persona, where he's like a Roy Keane, he fights for everything. You'd hate to be playing against him, but you'd want him on your side, because he'd fight for everything, every decision, you know.
And I think you can't hold it against, I think any Liverpool fan out there who watches the team and appreciates what that man does would be most thankful that he will be the man to hold that cup at the end of the season.
Agreed. Right, we've got to talk a little bit about Wolves as well. They were in this game for long periods of time. Raul Jimenez, who's
a great player, isn't he?
Yeah, what a player he's been for Wolves. What a signing. It must just be a matter of time before he goes to one of the, inverted commas, big clubs, surely.
We talked about the other clubs earlier. Man United, he could be in that squad.
Absolutely.
Chelsea, he could be a striker for Chelsea. Tottenham, he could be a striker for Tottenham. He could walk into literally almost any of the top
he
four.
He could lead the Real Madrid front line right now.
What about Adama Traore, though?
What about him?
And their partnership. Yeah. I mean, that cross right now, on his head, wasn't it?
This is all Nuno Espirito Santo. Yeah. Great Adama Traore.
I saw this incredible stat earlier. Adama Traore this season has got 28 bookings of players who've tried to foul him. 28 bookings. That is absolutely madness. Well,
Mourinho got the Spurs players to take it in turns to kick him.
Exactly. And he's built like a machine, but he's got skill as well. That's what's the scary thought
about
it.
They buy very well, Wolves. There's the young Portuguese guy.
Yeah.
Neto.
Exactly.
What a player. Mm. He's setting out for me. We know how good Jota is.
And when you've got an old head like João Moutinho in the middle, you've got Ruben Neves. Yeah. So he knows how to blend that right type of experience and
exciting youngsters. And the keeper as well. Unsung hero.
Yeah, Rui Patricio.
Really solid keeper. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wolves safely a Premier League team. And who would have thought that a few years ago, right? All right, some of the other results to wrap up for you. Bournemouth finally got a win.
Oh, they needed that one.
First win in six. 3-1 win against Brighton. Aston Villa came from behind. They were 1-0 down to Troy Deeney's header when they beat Watford 2-1. Again, Jack Grealish inspiring victory there. Massive win for Villa. That keeps their head above water. Crystal Palace 0, Southampton 2. We spoke about that. Some of the other results. Leicester, we spoke about that. Spurs, we didn't talk about. Spurs 2, Norwich City 1. Spurs are now, equal on points with Man United in fifth. This is how poor the top half of the table is.
But they were fortunate.
They were lucky.
I mean, they were playing the last team in the league at home and they still managed to just somehow come through with a very scruffy type goal at the end. Fortunate. So Spurs are not what you thought Jose would come and bring to that squad. It hasn't materialised yet. And bringing it back to Jose, he'll probably say, Harry Kane's been injured, I've not been able to buy
anyone. But then, Harry Kane was injured near the start of the window. They've had nearly a month to bring a body in. I mean, bar Fernando Llorente's agent offering his client back to Spurs again, I don't see anyone else.
Yeah, they bought Gedson Fernandez, but he's not really a striker per se. Exactly. So they've been linked with Piatek from AC Milan. But yeah, that's something that's a bit concerning. And another, don't pass it to Daniel Levy to actually pass the window and not buy anyone.
He's trying to get 20 million for Eriksen, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's having a laugh, isn't he?
Yeah, maybe it's dependent on that.
Yeah, it could be. Know? It could be.
And then there'll be a flurry at the last minute, like there used to be when Harry was there.
it was always a dramatic
late hour stuff, wasn't it? Yeah.
All right, that's your midweek EPL in a nutshell. We're going for another break. When we come back, we'll start previewing round 4 of the FA Cup for you. That's next.
What about that clearance off the line? How important did that turn out to be in the end?
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
It is a fine goal. Fine header, fine goal.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. Bob Holmes, Arvind Sidhu and Kashka Subbarao in the studio. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Follow us on Instagram and on Facebook as well. It's BFM Football. Previewing then the fourth round of the FA Cup. There are 2 Friday night games. We'll tell you about that later. The early kickoff on Saturday, the 8:30 kickoff, is Brentford from the Championship taking on high-flying Leicester City. It's the end of 116 years at Griffin Park for Brentford. I've actually been to Griffin Park. I think I've been to Griffin Park 5 times in my lifetime so far. What I do remember about Griffin Park is a pub on every corner.
I've been a few times as well, to the pubs as well. It's a pity Ray's not here. He could tell us about Brentford.
He could tell us a lot about Brentford.
Yeah, well, they're, a small London club, but they're pushing for promotion from the Championship. I mean, they could actually be in the Premiership next season.
The very good thing about Brentford in the Championship is they've got the best defence in the Championship and they've got the best goal difference. And they've got the top scorer in Ollie Watkins. Ollie Watkins has got 18 goals, sharing it with Mitrovic from Fulham, of course. But Thomas Frank has actually done a really good job at that squad. Griffin Park, it's a nice small ground where they're quite intimidating. They've got 2 very good central defenders in Pontus Janssen and Henrik Dalsgaard. So a good squad who's pushing slowly, like you said, steadily moving their way up. They've got a huge clash against Forest next, though, Bob, but I think in midweek next week. So that's going to be a big one for them.
They scout very well. Neil Maupay, who plays for Brighton now, came from Brentford. He scored bagful of goals.
Well, they have a sort of money ball type operation, don't they?
They go by stats, don't they? They buy players on stats. So, potential banana skin for Leicester here. Brentford flying high, playing good football. I don't know how Brendan Rodgers and Leicester will look at this one. Do they think, I mean, now they're third in the Premier League. Do Leicester City think, it's an unwanted distraction. No, the FA Cup.
I think they gave a good go of it. I mean, they're still quite far away from falling out of the top four. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the players that would come into that Leicester squad at Griffin Park, you've got Kelechi Iheanacho, you've got Hamza Choudhury, players who can actually play. So I think Brendan Rodgers would definitely be taking this seriously. And an FA Cup run for a club, like, imagine how successful that season would be to get them back into the Championship and go to the further parts of an FA Cup, or maybe to even win it. That would be an amazing, amazing season for Leicester.
I think Leicester and one or two clubs like that, Southampton, for example, should take the FA Cup seriously because it's a chance of winning a trophy, and they're not going to go down now.
Yeah.
But Leicester have got their eyes on the top four. That might be the distraction.
That's what I mean.
Like, Southampton haven't. I mean, you know, Southampton and Wolves. Well, Wolves have their eyes on then top
the,
four, don't
okay,
they?
The other way to look at it is what Brendan Rodgers needs to solidify the whole Brendan Rodgers revolution, in inverted commas, is a trophy. And if he can deliver it in his first season via the FA Cup, wouldn't that just stamp everything?
Yeah, but I think he'd rather get them into Europe, wouldn't he? Into the Champions League. Yeah.
But when you look at the consistency of Leicester, and then you've got the other teams who are trying to get into the top four, the likes of Arsenal, the likes of Man U and Spurs, the consistency isn't there, Bob. I mean, Leicester has been... Of course, we talked about that small wobble that they've had recently, but they've come back with a bang. So I don't think so there's any danger of them dropping out. It's always been the question now of who's going to get that fourth spot, where Chelsea is, I think, 6 points ahead of everyone else. That's the one that someone else could take it. But I think Leicester are pretty much certain to be in the top four.
And if that's the case, then you give the FA Cup
a good run. Yeah, and you've got good players to be able to come in and do a job for you. Give it a good run. But yeah, this is going to be one of the probably the ties of the FA
and
Cup.
And another thing is, Leicester is a club that has big potential. Yeah. So I don't think FA Cup is going to be a huge distraction. Yeah. It's just one competition extra.
All right, 8:30 kickoff, that one on Saturday. Brentford from the Championship taking on high-flying Leicester City. Southampton against Spurs is an all-Premiership lineup. Apparently, this match comes slap bang on the 118th anniversary of the first ever FA Cup match between Southampton and Tottenham Hotspur.
Mourinho wouldn't want to remember the last time they met.
Do you know football's a funny old game? I don't know whether there's someone sitting in a room going, ooh, 118th.
Let's put this tie together.
On the day, 118th
the occurrences of these things,
let's
right?
Let's do it.
Exactly.
But it's funny old game.
Yeah, but Mourinho wouldn't want to remember the last time that they met.
Jose is a serial winner. Jose comes to a new club and he thinks to himself, I'm sure in Jose world, there's got to be a trophy.
He's always been known to come to the club and deliver the League Cup to begin with. He did it with Chelsea. He did it with
Man U. That's out of the question.
He's going to go up against a Southampton team who is in a great run of form. And I don't think... And he will be remembering in his mind how Danny Ings did the little Gascoigne-like flick over Alderweireld and then scores a goal. He will be thinking about that one. So it's not going to be an easy time for Jose and his team, this one.
No, in fact, if he loses this, I think... The fans might just turn. You
Questions
know?
Will be asked.
Yeah, because it's not gone that well, has it? It started sort of okay. Yeah. And we thought, oh, well, maybe he has mellowed and this is probably the club for him now.
Hugging
his
the
dotage,
ball boys and all that. Yeah.
That sort of thing. But it seems to have gone awry. He's had bad luck with injuries, yes. But you feel he's not quite the Jose, of old.
Yeah.
And this suspicion that he's lost it. I mean, he's not had success, real success. And since Inter Milan, that's a long time ago, you know?
Yeah, I always wonder, when he took this Spurs job, it was a big thing for all of us because Spurs have managed to get Jose Mourinho in. But then at that time, you ask yourself the question, the Bayern job was available at that time. Bayern did not go in for him. There were bigger jobs out there for him. And he's decided to come back to London and he says that the Premier League is the league that he wants to come into. But I agree with Bob, there's something not right. He doesn't seem to have that same passion and bravado that he normally has with him. So,
and it's got to work at Spurs for Jose. Otherwise, it's game over.
Yeah, he hasn't sorted out the defence yet. That's normally the first thing he does.
But I think that's the thing. Because everyone keeps saying he parks the bus, he came into this playing mind games and he said he wouldn't do it anymore. So now he can't go back on the words and say, okay, now I'm going to park the bus again. So I think he let that get to him.
He's got to buy a bus first. Yeah.
But I think Jose will want himself to be evaluated when he's got a full summer to spend, because Jose has always been that guy that comes in, spends big. I don't know if
Daniel... Or is he going to get any money?
That's the thing. Yeah. I don't know if Daniel Levy will give him that money, but he's always been that guy that I need to bring in my players. To his credit, he's not been able to bring in more than one player right now. So in time, let's give
but
him
up to the
summer. But
that's the reason why Pochettino struggled, because there was no money to buy anyone to rebuild the
team. But Jose would have taken this job under the pretext that there is some money given to him. He would not have said yes to this job because he needs to buy. So I think we need to give him till the beginning of the next season to see how he's
doing. Be intriguing. It'll also be intriguing to see how Hasenhüttl approaches this. Will he name all kids, or will it be a strong Southampton at home against Spurs? It's an 11 o'clock kickoff, that one, Southampton against Spurs. Hull take on Chelsea. For me, this one's a potential banana skin. Grant McCann is the man in charge of Hull at the moment. They've stumbled recently. They've lost their last two, lost ground on the playoff spots, but still, it's the FA Cup. They say the form book goes out of the window.
Yeah, and Chelsea, I think they will want to make a statement here. They've had some criticism of late. I think a little bit harsh. I would blame the keeper. I think they're realising now themselves.
Yeah.
They're looking for another keeper, world's most expensive keeper. He's not up to it. He lets a soft goal in almost every game. And that, had it not been for that, I think Chelsea would be right up there. Well, they're in third place anyway. But, I mean, I think they'd be rather more secure of a Champions League place than they are. I think that we'll probably see Willy Caballero in goal this weekend. And they're looking for a replacement for Kepa. It's a big letdown. Sorry to blame one guy, but I think Chelsea have played pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, Lampard has done an excellent job. And I think with the transfer ban and everything lifted, he's got the money. He's still got time to sign somebody.
They even sold David Luiz.
Yeah. Chelsea, I think, have had a pretty good season. I think if they could win the FA Cup, they've been a pretty good cup side
They're in the Champions League. Yeah. They're in the top four shout.
They won the Europa League last year.
Now, there's no banana skin with this. Hull isn't in great form right now in the Championship. They've lost a couple of games. The problem with Hull is that Jarrod Bowen is their star player. Jarrod Bowen is actually a player who's Premier League material. He's scored, I think, 35 goals in 52 games. Great player. Linked with Leeds, linked with a couple of Premier League clubs. If he doesn't score, Hull don't score. And that's a challenge that they're going to have against Chelsea. But you're right. Besides Caballero, you would expect someone like Michy Batshuayi to come into play. You would expect Pulisic to come in and play as well. But still, too much quality for Hull.
So Humberside's most famous sons are not Hull City FC, but still the House Martins. So there you go. Hull versus Chelsea is a late Saturday game. It's a 1:30 a.m. Sunday morning kickoff. We're going for our last short break. We'll come back and wrap up the FA Cup fourth round for you right after this.
Fine save by the goalkeeper, spreading himself.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Worth a try. And he's always prepared to give it a go.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Thanks for sticking with us. Tranmere Rovers take on Manchester United. It's a 11 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Tranmere actually played Watford in an FA Cup replay on Thursday night, Friday morning, our time. Tranmere beat Watford after extra time 2-1 to set up a home tie against Man United. Now, I mean, we do a big shout every week on this show. And this one's got capital B banana skin written all over it for me.
I liked how the Tranmere manager came out on this one. Prenton Park is their location. 7,000 people. The tickets were sold out in immediate.
They didn't even go on public sale.
They didn't. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the thing about this is that he's come out and there have been some noises from Man United that the pitch isn't in the best condition. And he's come out and he said, oh, Nigel Pearson didn't have a problem with the pitch because Nigel Pearson is a nice guy. Now, United, with all their players on their millions of dollars, are going to go onto that pitch. This has got FA Cup romance written all over it.
The problem is, Kashika, you look at this Man United squad, it's going to be predominantly the nucleus of the side that performs so well against Burnley in midweek.
The way we played against Burnley, if we continue to do that tomorrow, I think that's it.
Do you reckon Solskjaer's job's on the line here, Bob? If Tranmere get a win here, are we going to see a head rolling?
I think he'll stagger on another week or two. But I think he should go fairly soon. For those who don't realise where Tranmere is, I think it's worth saying that it's on Merseyside.
Yeah.
It's literally across the river from Liverpool. And you don't need any reminding of how this is going to go down in Merseyside if Tranmere were to pull this off. It's a pity there's only 7,000 people going to go. They could fill Anfield for this with Scousers baying for United's blood.
Do you know what? Poor Ole's got everything to lose in this tie, really, hasn't he?
He does. And this will be really the mantle to see whether these players are up for the fight. Because there's been question about the intensity, there's been question about the attitude of those players.
About his coaching attributes, everything, right?
Exactly, yeah. And we talked about it earlier that when a team like Burnley can come and keep a clean sheet at Old Trafford and still score against the world's most expensive defender. Now, this is going to be, even if it's a draw, I still think it's a bad result for United because they need to win this. They need to win this and they need to do it well.
All right. That one is Sunday, 11 o'clock kickoff. And then straight after that one, you've got Shrewsbury Town against Liverpool. Shrewsbury sold all their tickets without even putting it out on public sale. They're completely sold out. Liverpool will probably, it'll be a mixture. It'll be first team and the young kids.
I think it'll be predominantly young kids because Liverpool keep getting injuries. They got Mane was injured last night.
Yeah.
This is a bit worrying. Fabinho came back. I mean, they fortunately nothing's been really long term, but with the program coming up, it'll be the Champions League soon resuming, and the run in for the title. They don't want to keep losing major players. So I don't think he's going to take too many risks here. And he's got very good youngsters. I mean, we saw what happened against Everton.
Just ask Everton, yeah.
So I think it'll be a pretty young side who should be able to cope with Shrewsbury. I mean, it's a similar situation with Tranmere and United, the difference in class and the potential of an upset. But Liverpool, you can't really see even a Liverpool C team losing.
You can't.
Whereas you can see a United A team losing.
Is there a United A team? You surprise me. Some of the other FA Cup fourth round ties. Two matches played tonight. Queen's Park Rangers take on Sheffield Wednesday. I bet when the broadcasters were thinking about which game to televise, this one didn't jump out, but they are broadcasting it. Mm. It's an old championship clash. Northampton against Derby County is the other 4 a.m. tie tonight, or rather early tomorrow morning. We told you about Brentford. Reading against Cardiff is a round four tie. All premiership tie, Burnley against Norwich City.
Yeah, that's going to be good with Burnley riding high. Norwich, if any club needs to get out of the FA Cup, it's Norwich because their focus is to strike.
But maybe it's a welcome distraction. Maybe it's a way to get form back. I don't know how teams like that will see this one. Coventry against Birmingham City. It's tenants versus landlords the landlord's gaff.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with this is this whole FA Cup now is that we just don't know how seriously managers are going to take it, do we? I think we've said that with just about every game we try to preview.
Yeah.
And that's a great shame because there was never any question about taking it seriously in years gone by. I mean, I can understand now why they do this, why they play youngsters. They've got bigger fish to fry. But you have to wonder about the FA Cup and its future when it's really a sort of semi-Mickey Mouse affair now, isn't it? Not entirely, because when it gets to the later stages, it's worth winning. You get a day out at Wembley and it's a trophy. Jose Mourinho likes it, you know, and all that. But at this stage, you know, if a big club were to go out, they wouldn't like it. It's a bit of a slap in the face. But if they got out and didn't get anybody injured, they'd breathe a sigh of relief and say, oh, we can concentrate on the league.
But on the
and
flip,
it's a great tragedy.
But on the flip side of that, Bob, there are many clubs right now who could use an FA Cup in their trophy cabinet.
But sometimes their managers don't realise that, do
exactly.
They?
The likes of Leicester, Spurs haven't won something for a very, very long time. Everton, these are the clubs that when you get the FA Cup, you'll have a sense that they've come far and they're progressing. So that's the romance that the FA Cup still has. I get why the big boys don't take it seriously, because the Champions League money comes in and the commitments is there. But there's that second tier of clubs who are doing really good things, who actually would deservedly win an FA Cup, and it'll be a beautiful story at the end of the season.
Alright, Monday night game is Bournemouth against Arsenal. That's your FA Cup fourth round. Time then to get a few predictions from the guys.
Time for the big weekend shout.
Right, we're going to start with you, Keshika. What's your big weekend shout?
I'm going to say Tranmere might win this one.
You're going against Manchester United?
I mean, as a fan, I want United to win. But on like a football perspective, I feel like it has banana skin written all over it.
Ooh, that's a big shout and a half, that one. Arvin, what's your big shout?
Groundhog Day again for Jose Mourinho, Southampton to knock Spurs out of the FA Cup.
That would be rough for Jose to take. Because Jose, as we say, serial winner, he would have earmarked probably the FA Cup
and
as a trophy.
And the reason why is it's so young in his tenure, and there's already things of him coming out and saying Tanguy Ndombele always gets injured. There was talk that he had a training ground bust up with Danny Rose. These are things that you see at the later part of Jose's reign.
Well, Danny Rose has already come out and said, you think Jose's in charge?
Exactly.
You?
So these things are never good when you start hearing them.
Okay. Southampton to beat Spurs, knock them out of the cup. Bob?
I'll go for Bournemouth to beat Arsenal. I think
the Arteta revolution for another creak in the works.
No, Bournemouth actually won last night, didn't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to give them a big lift.
If ever a club needed a win, it was Bournemouth.
That was it. And sometimes clubs can carry on and go on a bit of a roll. And I don't think Arteta will take this seriously, frankly. I think he'll put in the kids. So on that basis, I think Bournemouth, who probably will pick a fairly strong side, I think they could win this.
Brilliant stuff. Right.
Tune in next week for more big weekend shouts.
That is your reunion dinner show done and dusted. I hope you're digesting your food properly. Drive safely if you're out on the roads. And remember, if you fancy a jar, forget the car. That's my PSA
right,
there.
Right,
hey,
right.
Hey. Right. For now, I say thank you to the guys. Thank you, Arvind Sidhu.
Thank you, everyone. Happy Chinese New Year to all our Chinese listeners.
Thank you, Keshika.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Bob Holmes.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Gong Hei Fat Choi. See you Monday.
Follow BFM Football on Facebook and catch On The Ball next Friday on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.